For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run. Yeah, it's an
Thursday, also happy National Intern Day, and happy Wine and Cheese Day. Jeffy, that's kind of a disappointing collection of days, don't you think? Like, I mean, I interns, God bless them, you know. Were you ever an intern?
Not like a summer intern. I was an intern, during the semesters, year. Yeah.
It's National Intern Day. And it is National Wine and Cheese Day. And it is the day when the Olympics continue. Kind of a disappointing start for the U.S. yesterday, Jeffrey.
What are you talking about? We got an elite tie in rugby sevens.
Well, that's...
I feel like that was the breaking news that everyone just ignored.
The elite tie in rugby sevens.
Yeah, U.S.
Just
US,
catch me up with what happened.
U.S. beats France 12-12.
Oh,
it was like, was it with Harvard, Yale? Was it?
Yeah, exactly. It was. It's the year of the famous year of the tie, 1968. Maybe, I got no idea. Well, the men's soccer team was losing to France, and I was so
They got beat 3-0. But
I was so demoralized by that.
Yeah.
That
this happened before it.
Well, I was preparing to be so demoralized by that Anyway, we got U.S. versus Zambia in women's soccer today. So there's always tomorrow. Bounce back day.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is they've not put the medal count up yet. I've noticed that I don't care until they
It's not
real until they put the medal count up in the USA next
count
week.
Goes up. I don't think there's been a medal yet.
Right.
So, it'd be zero.
But they're not even putting the leaderboard
nil. Big day here on the show because it is Thursday, and that means we will play Righter Than Right Trivia. You can count on Jeffrey. Like, you may not be able to count on the men's Olympic soccer team to pull you through.
The men's under 23 plus three other guys.
You may or may not be able to count on the men's sevens, rugby sevens to pull you through.
Jeffrey,
you wouldn't accept a tie.
Yeah, when we're 7.5-point dogs, I would.
Okay, no, I mean, and Righter Than Right Trivia is what I'm saying.
Well, tie goes to me.
Anyway, we got Righter Than Right Trivia in the second hour. Chris Herring, of course, straight up at 10 o'clock. Then Righter Than Right Trivia. Kevin Cerrito will join us to take us through Righter Than Right Trivia. All you have to do is play honorably. We've given up on saying you have to beat Jeffrey to get the prize. Oh, what is the prize, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we have two tickets to go see the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Of course, the first playoff event of the FedEx Cup. You can attend any of the 4 days. It's two grounds passes.
There you go. You can go on Championship Sunday if you wanted. Two grounds passes.
Saturday's the best day.
But Saturday is of course, the best day. And I'll see you out there. So that is fun. All you got to do is play honorably. Or, if you can, be Righter Than Right. Before we get to the Grizzlies and the NBA, where there is news, there's other news, Jeffrey, in the broader, greater world that I wanted to discuss.
All right.
First, did you see the news? Not the news that was in the early word in the Daily Memphian involving Southwest Airlines. Did you see what Southwest Airlines is doing, their policy change that they are embarked on?
So I don't know if this was news yesterday, but I know that they are getting rid of the open seating.
That is correct. They've finally confirmed that. That has been a thought. So, do you like it? Do you ever fly Southwest?
I do.
And so right now, I imagine most of you, don't you think most people out there we were listening right now have flown Southwest at some point, trying to save a few bucks, whatever else. It's and the way they do it is you get a boarding group. So you're in group A. And then you get a number in the boarding group. So you line up. Let's be honest. I'm never in group A. I'm usually in group B.
Well, you can't pay for that.
Whatever. And so that's one reason why I'm not in group A. So whatever. Let's say you're in group B and you're 26. And so they have this little place where you line up, and you go stand there, and you find your.
And then you do this awkward like.
And then you're, what number are you? I'm 26. You're 25. You're 25.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'm
then
26.
You try to decide if it bothers you that
right.
that whoever at 29 is actually ahead of you. Are you gonna? But there's not a lot of space to nudge in and out of 29. Are you gonna do it? I do it invariably because that gives me.
That's because you're always in B or C.
It's my right. Yes, I'm always in.
Yeah, you don't care if it's the difference between A29 and A26. Nobody cares.
But when
you're
probably right.
When you start
it could
to get
be the last.
When you start
for me,
to get
it could be the last aisle.
When
seat.
It could be the difference between an aisle seat, a window seat, or the middle.
It could be the last place to put your suitcase.
Yep.
So absolutely, I jockey for position. Anyway, they're getting rid of it. They're going to have assigned seating, and
which you'll pay for.
And which, of course, you'll pay for. And premium legroom, which means if you don't pay for it, your legs are going to be jacked up right against your chest, right? I mean, there's going to be no legroom. So they're going to have premium legroom and assigned seating, an opportunity to get more coins off of you. They did say that 80% of current and 86% of potential customers prefer assigned seating. If you had been asked by Southwest, just for your own selfish purposes, should we abandon this seating method and go to assigned seating? Would you have said yes, go to assigned seating, or no, do not go to assigned seating?
I would have said no.
Why?
Because in the end, I know exactly what they're doing. By doing assigned seating, they're just
getting maybe $17 to not.
Correct.
For $27, you can sit in this seat. For $37, you can sit in this seat.
Right. And theoretically, in Southwest, is like I can buy the want to get away, and as long as I'm aware of when my flight time to check in is, I can have the same seat.
It is amazing how it used to be that buying something was an exercise in you know, what wonderful things they're offering you in order to entice you to buy. Now so much of this is just avoidance of pain.
Where are they trying to screw me?
But also, how do I do this? That they're punishing me if I don't pay the money.
Yeah,
that's what it is. You know, if you just go whatever main cabin, you know, it is going to be an excruciating experience, and they tell you. This is going to be excruciating. You're going to have no checked bags. You can't bring anything in. You can't bring anything in your pockets. We're going to search you. Probably a cavity searches before you come on the plane. And you can't change your seat. You can't get up to pee if you don't pay whatever else. They don't say those things, but that's the spirit of it. It's not that they're trying to entice you with wonderful things. They're letting you know if you don't pay, you are going to be freaking miserable. And so... it's just kind of an astonishing thing what shopping for an airline ticket has become. But anyway, Southwest is changing it up. I did want to get that big news out there. They're also going to start having red eyes. I didn't know they didn't have red eyes. They're going to have red eyes. Did you know they didn't have red eyes?
Yeah.
They didn't have red eyes. Now they're going
to
have red
eyes. This always goes to my number one rule, and to all due respect to all the fine, hardworking people of private equity. When private equity gets involved, the customer doesn't win.
The second bit of news, and there was any number of things I could have chosen here, and we may get to some of them later, but they continue to investigate. Obviously, the president gave a talk last night. I'm not going to mention that. He explained why he was not going to run for re-election, et cetera. But they continue to investigate the shooter, Thomas Crooks, and they don't have a motive as of yet. They do know that he was flying a drone over the area well before the shooting. He visited it several times. But he also was doing internet searches, Jeffrey. And here was one of the internet searches. Well, a young man sits down, fires up Google, and types in, do you know the answer to this?
MILFs?
No. How far was Oswald from Kennedy?
Mm.
That could be for a paper, I guess, right? It could be for a paper he was doing. Like if someone were to put that
right, just a research topic.
Just
yes,
a research topic. How about that? How far was Oswald from Kennedy? Ugh. Anyway, people are now being forthcoming. This was Christopher Wray, who's head of the FBI, who testified yesterday. More real world stories later on in the show. But let's get to the really critical NBA news, Jeffrey. And that is that the Trey Jemison era is no more.
Raise a glass.
Raise a glass to Trey Jemison. He is no longer on a two-way with the Grizzlies. He has been replaced by Jay Huff. And I'll say this. As we've been going over the Grizzlies roster, and as we've been going over, in particular, the two ways, our man Chris Harrington, who will join us straight up at 10 o'clock, has been very middling, meh, on Trey Jemison, right? Like, you can get
100%.
You can get excited on Cam Spencer, right? Obviously, Scottie Pippen Jr., great bargain on a two-way. But the Trey Jemison has been just kind of there, right?
Yeah.
And you may or may not be familiar with his work. I would think you might recall Jay Huff from his time at the University of Virginia. Won the national championship at the University of Virginia. He's 7'1". He's 240 pounds. He's going to turn 27 next month. He's been on a two-way for three different teams. He has played for the Washington, the Capital City Go-Go, when he was named G League Defensive Player of the Year. That was in 2022-2023. But honestly, if you've been an avid follower of Summer League, you may recall that he played the Grizzlies earlier this summer. And acquitted himself very nicely. He was playing then for the Orlando Magic, scored 18 points, two threes, three block shots. He has shot 39% from three-point range in the NBA, which is pretty good for a 7'1 dude, 7'1 center. And by the way, across four seasons at Virginia, shot 39% as a three-pointer. He's 7'1, 7'5 wingspan. I'm reading this from Chris Harrington's story right now. He was a sophomore on that national championship team. Who knows, Jeffrey? He may be with this with the Grizzlies for a month or 2 months or 6 months or who knows. But continuing effort to find, and this is sort of one of the things that that everyone has identified, depth at true center, right? Mm-hmm. Zach Edey is, you know, let's hope it works out. But they don't have a lot of other alternatives in terms of true centers, and seems like a reasonable, we'll hope it's an upgrade. You felt good about this move?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to sit there and say, like, I'm laboring over the two-way fifth right. or sixth big.
This is where we are, man.
It does seem smart. Like, hey, there's not, like, really another, like, seven-footer to have Edey practice against.
Right. Okay. And then John Hollinger did a, when we've talked to Chris about his summer report, but John Hollinger did a report from Summer League, and he highlighted players who have done, who did particularly well. And the first player he highlighted was Reed Sheppard, asks the question, why the hell wasn't he, sort of raises the, well, mentions that people are wondering, why the hell wasn't he the first pick?
Yeah.
Like, if you're Atlanta or Washington, are you regretting not making Reed Sheppard the first pick? Played well in summer league. He was disruptive defensively. But the second player that he identified as having a terrific summer league, Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah.
Of the Memphis Grizzlies. And because some of you don't subscribe to the Daily Memphian, I will give you the highlights. Let's start with Pippen, who was my pick for Vegas MVP, he writes. Quietly played well at the tail end of Memphis' lost 2023-24 season in Las Vegas. Nobody could get the ball up court against his ball pressure. Pippen had 20 steals in six games. However, the more notable development might be at the offensive end, where the game has really slowed down for him. Pippen has always been an iffy outside shooter, and as a collegian at Vanderbilt, his response was to go flying into the paint and create an event. He wasn't always under control or picking his spots well, but that part has changed. He still draws heaps of fouls, 46 free throws in six Vegas games, but finished summer league with 52 assists against just 14 turnovers. At age 23 and presenting a data set that now includes an impressive 2023-24 G League campaign with South Bay, 21 solid NBA games with the Grizzlies, and a dominant summer league, Pippen has a great case to take over Memphis's backup point guard job. The Grizzlies would have to make an actual roster spot for him at some point, but they have 50 games of G League service they can burn through first. Goes on to say, that wasn't the Grizzlies' only positive from Vegas. Second-year pro Gigi Jackson pumped in 22 points a game and, encouragingly, showed a bit more awareness of the other four players in the same uniform. That's always healthy, Jeff, mm-hmm. isn't it, Jeffrey? And after 2 years of looking like a bust, Jake LaRavia scored 28 points in the championship game and filled his Vegas stat sheet with over three assists and nearly three steals per game. So good news from the Grizzlies' summer, right? That seems all pretty good to me. Is this the best roster the Grizzlies have ever fielded?
No, we've kind of been debating
this before, and I think we've said before, the argument for it, there is not much of an argument, I don't think. Can you argue it's the best bench? I mean, if you think Gigi's going to be a star, like whatever you think Gigi is, that sort of tips it. You had a bench recently that had Kyle, that had Tyus, you know, that, I mean, that
Melton,
bench,
yeah.
And D'Anthony Melton, like that bench created havoc.
Brandon Clark.
It was terrific. Yeah. And he was on that bench too. So that was an unbelievably good bench. I don't think you can say that this bench is better. Vince Williams, Clark, Luke Kennard, Gigi. Is this a better? But I don't think so. Like, those guys are perfect bench players, right?
Different direction.
I think the argument is growth within the argument is growth within the is that this is going to be the best version of Jaren, Dez, and Ja you've ever had, and because they're older and they're entering their prime. And if you're going to argue that this is the best Grizzlies there's ever been, it's because those guys are the best core they've ever had. What direction were you going to go?
So my instinct is, I think the best team is the 2010-2011 team that lost in the Game 7 conference semis to Oklahoma City. I think that's actually the closest the Grizzlies were to making a title or to winning a title.
Well, that's a slightly different question.
Yeah.
Because right now, there's I'm just literally talking about best roster, not closest to winning a title, but best roster.
All right. So if you look at that team, God, like, so Mark has a PER of 18.9, Randolph's at 22, Conley was 13.7, Mayo was at 12.5, TA was at 10.7.
Are you going to argue? Are you going to argue that Mark, that Zebo, and that Mike, and I'm not saying it's a far-fetched argument, but that those three are better than Ja, Jaren, and Dez this year's?
I think so. Now, the bigger question, though, is will we get that internal growth that you're talking about? Like, my instinct is the Grizzlies are going to be greatly undervalued.
None of those guys were top 10 players in the league. And Ja can be.
Agreed. Although you could make an argument one of those guys was the best at his position.
Well, Zach that year was just
an absolute force, and you can make the argument at that time Marc Gasol was the best center on the planet. Now, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's, to me, the difference is I think this year this team's going to, we're going to remember very quickly that Ja Morant makes this team a lot different, and I think you could see, like, career years from Dez and Jaren. And that would be, like, in the end, like, I think Mark and Zebo, like, that was arguably Zebo's career year.
What's interesting is that if you look at them, Mark, how many All-Stars? Two?
Three, right?
Three. Mark, three-time All-Star. Mike made the All-Star team after he left the Grizzlies. Mike, honestly, is Desmond Bane. He's not in terms of the kind of player he is.
Yeah.
But in terms of where he is in the league, really good player. Honestly, a lot of things. Again, different kind of players. One's an off guard. One's a point guard. But really good player. Really good dude. Quiet leader. Everything you could possibly want. Like,
really good player to crowd a position.
Just a great, great dude. Great position. And yes, but borderline all-star. Now, Dez could break through at some point, I suppose. But right now, they're sort of equivalent. Jaren, I think you can argue, Jaren and Mark, defensive players of the year, yeah, right? Like, whatever. Now, Mark's more accomplished than Jaren, you know. And Mark was, in fact, I'll take Mark right now, you know.
Yeah, you have to.
In terms of the career, and, I mean, he ultimately won a championship. He was at his best as an offensive player. He was a terrific offensive player. He was defensive player of the year. He's a three-time All-Star compared to Jaren. But similar. Again, similar. Like,
yeah,
I'll put him in the same bucket, right? And so then it's Ja against Zebo. obviously, of course, nothing like mm-hmm. each other, except
off court,
some colorful off court antics in both instances. And Ja very clearly has a higher ceiling than Zebo, even though Zebo at his zenith was destroying the universe.
Yes,
Zebo kicked around though. He was a guy who played for multiple teams who moved on from him, I see, partly because of off-court antics, but because it is funny, he wasn't a great defensive player. Weirdly enough, totally different positions and players, but a lot of things are kind of lining up here.
Yeah.
But Zebo was never ranked. Zebo was never all-NBA.
Yeah,
and Ja was.
Yeah, I would also argue, though, the NBA is analyzed differently than it was even 12 years ago, or 13 years ago.
It's interesting. It is closer. You just assume this core has a higher ceiling than that. Like, we put that team in this box of, hey, they were a nice bunch of tryhards, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they were, maybe they're closer than we want to admit in actual.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think the problem is it was perceived that that team had a ceiling.
Well, there was also, yeah. I mean, you look around the league back then, And
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Were they dominant? It was sort of opening up, honestly, though. Like, you know, the year they beat San Antonio, the San Antonio had been the Colossus,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
San Antonio was no longer the Colossus. Now, they were injured that year.
By the way, they still had two more titles to win.
So, that's interesting. That is interesting. We'll revisit that with Chris Harrington when we talk to him straight up at 10 o'clock. The other news, of course, in the NBA is the TV news that we touched on yesterday, and now we know for certain the NBA has announced yesterday 11-year media rights deal with NBC and Amazon, largely, for $76 billion. $76 billion. So you wonder, occasionally you look at the numbers that that what did Evan Mobley just get? $260 million or $240 million or whatever it is. And like he's a very promising player, really good player. Yeah, what did he average, 15 points a game? I think he averaged 15, 16 points a game. Good defensive player. Not a guy you'd consider in the best 10 players in the league or the best 20 players in the league, right? And he just made, Google that contract. What did he get? $240 million?
Sorry, I was looking up. He averaged 15-9.
Average 15-9, like whatever. Nice player, good defensive player.
$269 million.
$269 million
could be worth. So the number came from the
end.
But it does go to your point, though.
Where does this money come? Well, the money's got. It's just like it is. Just like in college sports, you're like, how do these coaches make $10 million? This is obscene. Or where does all this money coming from that is sloshing around in Power Five conferences? And the answer is, it's got to go somewhere, because the money is pouring in, and when it is $76 billion, oh, they have this collective bargaining agreement where they basically split the money in half with the players. And so the players are going to get an enormous amount of money. And this, the money that we're seeing now, that $260 million deal that Evan Mobley just got, is going to look like small potatoes soon.
Yeah, I think, though, I think Mobley's contract's going to be tied to the
cap.
The cap.
To the rising cap.
Yeah.
It is amazing how, oh, that's why it could be worth.
Yeah.
It is amazing how, when will we get a $1 billion contract? We will.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously.
It's just staggering. Signed a 4-year billion, $1.2 billion
contract. Are we saying specifically in basketball, in the NBA?
No, not, I'm leaving out soccer. I don't really understand
I'm talking about
U.S. Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, Mahomes just got $500 million, and they're...
Is that what he got?
Yeah. Now, it was... There's a lot of fine print in it.
In 10 years, will people be getting with billion-dollar deals?
Do you think the NFL is going to stop printing money?
I don't think that anyone's going to stop printing.
And then you know the contracts are going to go up again when they get the 18-game schedule? Yeah, I'll say 10 years. It'll be announced. Now the question will be like,
yeah, that's
who will idea. Who will actually earn that money over the course of the contract?
And so what this means is return of the NBA to NBC. Do we have a little throwback? What do you think? How do you rank this one?
I think it's the greatest sports theme song of all time.
Wow!
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else.
The greatest?
Yeah. I think it is. Monday Night Football has an argument. Am I grossly overlooking something?
It feels familiar. It does stir something in you, doesn't it?
The only thing that I hated about it was when Fox hijacked it for college basketball.
Yes.
Like this is the NBA on NBC.
It's really good. It's really good. And Amazon is the other piece of this, and that's because the NBA, here's what happened. Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the TNT, owns TNT, they said, when they saw Amazon's deal, they said, we match. And then the NBA said,
not so fast.
You did not match. And TNT said, did so match. And NBA said, no, you did not match. And so it's going to be on TNT one more year. That's this year. But otherwise, you can expect legal proceedings. I will tell you this. I do not believe we are going to see it on TNT after this year. What you will see is money exchanging hands.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's very
clear. As you said yesterday, the NBA wants to be in business with Amazon.
Well, the NBA yesterday also publicly declared, we're divorcing you.
Yes, they did. Oh, no, they said it. They put out a statement. Courts could mandate, no, we say they matched. But then even then, there's a term in the legal world called specific performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you get, like if you hire someone to build a wall for you, and they say, I'm not going to build the wall for you, and you say, yes, you are, and you sue them, and there's a contract, and the judge says, there's a contract here. Very clearly a contract. It's you, yes. But then will they order the person to build the wall? Almost never.
Compensation.
What they will do is say, if he has to go hire someone else to build the wall, an equivalent person, it costs this. They don't order people to do something
right. Unless
it's really the only person they can. Very rare circumstances do you get specific performance in the world of law. Typically, you get damages.
Yeah.
Because money's easier to it's easier to have money exchange hands than force something
Correct. To
actually force someone to actually do something. So I suspect that is what is going to happen. Weirdly enough, there's another TV sort of related dispute going on, utterly unrelated to the NBA, but this one's fascinating. Did you hear about the Rupert Murdoch thing going on with his family? I never watched Succession. Did you watch Succession?
I did.
Okay. Well, they say this is straight out of Succession.
Well, I do believe the Murdoch family was the inspiration.
Rupert Murdoch set up an irrevocable trust so that his four children would get control of his media empire, including Fox News, when he shuffles off his mortal coil.
May I ask a question?
He's 93, by the way.
May I ask a question? Not for me, because I obviously know what an irrevocable trust is, but maybe the listening audience.
No, it's just, here you go. This is basically, he set up this deal. Right now, he still gets to run everything, but then as soon as he dies, it passes to the four.
Yeah.
And it according to the terms of this, it couldn't be changed, even by Rupert Murdoch himself, unless the change is deemed to be for the benefit of all the recipients,
okay,
and done in good faith.
All right.
So he couldn't. So what he did is he gave his whole media empire to his four children. He has four children, okay? And so he couldn't have gone in and said, you know what? Like the guy he's subsequently identified this guy named Lachlan, his son, as the guy he wants to be to run it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one in the succession who he's picked to
Jeremy
run
Strong.
Lachlan. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Anyway, but he couldn't have gone back into the trust and given 51% to Lachlan.
Right, because he can't alter it.
And then split the other half, the 49% between the other three, because it's got to be for the benefit of them all. It can't just be for the benefit of Lachlan, according to the terms of the trust that Rupert Murdoch himself set up. He set it up, by the way, as part of a divorce proceeding, and so he was sort of...
always the same.
He was sort of... It feels like he was forced to set this thing up. Like his wife was like, we're getting divorced, one of the things is you're going to do this and you're going to give all the kids equal money, whatever else, okay? So anyway, this is all fine. He set this up and it was going to pass to the four kids once he died. The problem is, from Rupert Murdoch's perspective, is one of the kids, James, and I'm taking you deep into the succession world now, James is married to Catherine. And James isn't quite the white right winger that Rupert and Lachlan are. Okay? And not only that, Catherine is a climate activist.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fear is for Rupert Murdoch that when he dies, these four won't keep Fox News as the right wing mouthpiece that it is right now. Right? And so where's Lachlan Wood? So he wants to go back in and say, sure, you guys all still own this equal rights to the thing, but we're giving Lachlan total control over what happens to the media empire, over who actually runs Fox News, because they don't want to fight, because the other three might want to moderate Fox News, for example, okay? So, and Rupert Murdoch doesn't want that, which I actually understand. It's his money. You know what I mean? Like, it's his money. But here's the thing is, he's
I don't
gotta,
even think this is for political reasons. I think it's business.
Well, I'm
going to
say, that's what he's saying. His argument is, I think it, no one seems to doubt that it is for political reasons, but the argument is business. The argument is, listen, the value in this company is in its political position.
Yes,
is
and
as
brand.
A
because
right,
there are people try to do other right-wing things.
As a right-wing brand. And so, even though they might not want it, these other three kids who are more moderate, it is for their benefit to keep it as the right-wing brand that it is, because that is where its value is.
Yes.
And so that's the argument, and I think he'll win.
Yeah.
I think he'll win.
I'm deferring to you.
I don't really know.
Like, I have never sat through law school. I've never passed the bar. I'm going to defer to you on that one.
It is certainly, like you just thought of that argument out of the blue, that's how credible the argument is. It is certainly a credible argument to say, you know what? The value in this brand is in being the right-wing brand that it is, and so by continuing it as a we are helping all of you. And you can see the other three who are now not speaking to their father. They did not go to his recent wedding to a whatever 22-year-old. Is she not 22? How old is Rupert's most recent wife? He's 93. Lachlan went to the wedding. It really is like Succession, even though I didn't watch Succession. Rupert recently got married.
I'm telling you, the inspiration for Succession was the Murdoch.
Lachlan went to the wedding. The other three did not. Is Succession about a media empire?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. Life imitates art, which was evidently imitating life. Is that what you're telling me?
He became engaged to Russian molecular biologist Elena Zhukova.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course he did.
I'm not... Why? Usually they always put...
Oh, come on.
She is 60 years his junior.
There you go. So she's 33.
No, I was saying... But they didn't include it.
Well, he's 93. So she is then?
No, but I'm saying they didn't include. I was making the
They usually might do something like that.
Yeah.
While you do that, I will tell the people that it's fun to shop for a tractor. It's fun to drive a tractor. It's fun to do stuff on a tractor. If you got a big piece of land, if you like bush hogging, if you got a big garden, tomatoes, by the way, this is the moment for tomatoes. It's tomatoes in season right now. Get yourself a tractor. And down at Mid-South Ag Equipment in Byhalia, they've got these Case IH tractors. They're exactly what you need for that kind of thing. They're smaller. You know, you don't have to be a big-ass tractor. This is not what we're doing. A massive combine that you're driving over in Arkansas on your 300 acres of soy. This is a 140-horsepower tractor, essentially, or less. A Case IH tractor, exactly what you need for the big garden, for the mowing, big piece of land, for the bush hogging, any of that. Forget green. Go Big Red with the smaller Case IH tractor, now available in stock at Mid-South Ag in Byhalia. It's on Highway 302. Do we have any answers as to her?
Yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as we thought.
Or as good as we thought.
Yeah, 67.
Don't judge. Oh, 67.
Yeah, she's 67, he's 93.
She's older than me.
Yeah.
Look at that. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. It made me so happy to watch the NFL stuff yesterday. Just to see guys running around.
I was going
to
say, also, we have not had another Patrick Mahomes finding worthy.
Since.
Yeah, we haven't had.
That's true. That's true.
It's a huge part of it.
It was great yesterday. We'll talk a little NFL when we return. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we'll play Right or Right Trivia. It's a big Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show.
I would also put that one up there. I think the Fox, that one's up there too.
The great tunes we were reflecting earlier on the return. Now, is NBC going to bring back this tune?
Yes, and I believe they're going to.
They've said this?
Tesh is, I hope you're sitting down for this. John Tesh, who wrote the song, right. He said he is willing to re-record it too.
There you go. Beautiful. Chris Harrington in the next segment. Then we'll play Writer Then Write Trivia, giving away two tickets to the FedEx St. Jude.
Championship.
You can go any of the days.
Any of the days.
Any of the days.
I guess I said 4 days, but I think if you want to go on Wednesday.
I bet you could go Wednesday as well. So you just got to play honorably, or if you can, go ahead and beat Jeffrey. I was thrilled yesterday to see the return of the NFL. It just, like, I know it's a, we still got a while, you know. But
Hall of Fame game is under a week away.
I know that's fun, but it was just great to see it. Was there anything that particular Jim Harbaugh wore cleats?
Well, no, Jim Harbaugh's quote
to practice. Which quote was that?
It feels like New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. It's like I feel just like when I came out of the womb.
Baby.
I don't know about you. I don't know what my earliest memory is, but I don't think it happens. I have no recollection of getting popped out of the womb.
I have no recollection of getting popped out of the womb. Let's see. Other things that happened around the league yesterday. Your quarterback.
Yes.
Looked rusty.
Yeah.
Sadly, Daniel Jones, coming back from the ACL injury,
mm-hmm.
was not accurate. The best pass he threw was to Malik Nabers, who dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bad sign, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with where I am right now. Just play him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be very good. He's going to be fine. Like, that's the thing. He's just going to be fine. Daniel's not terrible, but he's not good. And then I'm on to the draft. Like, I'm scouting out. I've just decided I want a new quarterback.
All right. And then we've got, one of the more depressing things that happens in training camp is Mekki Blackman, who is the cornerback from the Vikings. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, there's no...
I hate the camp injuries.
I hate the non-contact, and you just hear, like, oh, guy went down in an individual drill. I know what that is.
I hate him less if it's a Jet or a Dolphin or a Chief.
Mm-hmm.
But even then... I hate it. Obviously,
the number one rule of the show is we never root for injuries.
Of course, we would never root for injuries. But if injuries are going to happen, they might as well be strategic.
For sure.
But I do. It's deflating. It is deflating as hell to have the injury before you even get started. So that was kind of depressing. We had L'Jarius Sneed, full go for the Titans. He's been injured himself. But then you got, and you know, it's interesting. You got Javondre Sweat there, you know. Taking up room. You got Jamal Adams now on board there. L'Jarius Sneed was full go with the Titans. And Will Levis had a strong day of accuracy, Jeffrey, after he did two things. And I want to ask you about the significance of either two things. Big picture. One, he took teammates to Cabo San Lucas. Is that what it's called? Cabo. I'll just call it Cabo.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of...
To bond, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. And to work out and bond.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, he's taken up journaling.
Ah.
So what do you think? I'm not a journaler. There have been times I've picked up a journal and I've started to write in it. And I'm like, I feel ridiculous.
But I feel very narcissistic when I do it.
I feel so...
I understand there is value in it.
No. I think it's actually, for people who do it, yeah. I think it's... Well, Claire tells me it's an incredibly valuable practice.
Sure.
To journal. I can't get past the feeling self-conscious doing it. Mm-hmm. So conscious of what I'm writing down.
Well, there's always the fear of someone's going to find this.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. But no, it's not that. It's more like, what am I supposed to be writing down? Some deepest feelings? Or am I supposed... I think you have to probably do it enough that it feels natural so that you're not being self-conscious about what you're writing at every word. But anyway, Will Levis has taken up... he's taken his teammates to Cabo, and he's taken up journaling. And maybe coincidence, strong day of accuracy.
Yeah, so a couple things on this. Number one... I support taking your teammates to a trip. Like
I do 100%
support that. This is teetering on Rory McIlroy territory, and for those that don't know what I mean by that, every year we get to Augusta, because that's obviously the major that Rory's never won. That's what's keeping him from the career Grand Slam. We always hear about some new mental trick that he's doing that's going to make this time it'll be different. And then finally, the other thing I would say is, when we have to note he had a strong day of accuracy, that's not a good thing. It's like, oh, he was pretty accurate today.
All right, moving right along. Lamar Jackson returned to practice.
He had diarrhea again, right?
Well, he lasted an hour. Is that your diagnosis of
yes.
this?
When he was tummy ache, yeah, he had diarrhea again.
So here's the thing. Lamar Jackson has missed at least one day of practice for illness in each of his seven seasons. We've heard about being injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
Is he illness prone? I think he is. I just think
he has IBS.
Oh, is that right? Do we know that?
No. I think the guy misses for diarrhea a lot.
Oh. That's what's happening here. Well, that's unpleasant. I wish I didn't ask. Over at 49ers camp, Trent Williams is holding out, and Brandon Ayuk, who originally was a full participant, is no longer.
Yeah.
Is there trouble in paradise, or whatever version of paradise the Niners are?
No. To me, this is no different. They want new contracts. Ayuk's got no other options. Williams can put pressure on him, but I find it hard to believe Trent Williams isn't going to be playing this year.
I think that's right. And Brandon Ayuk, they're both going to play. Both going to play. You had Aaron Rodgers, who explained the Egypt trip. The thing about the Egypt trip, it's just so dumb, because he said, back in the doldrums of the rehab, I thought it'd be fun to put a trip together with some friends. He wanted to go to Egypt, okay, right?
Yeah.
Here's the next, what it says. He looked at the Jets' minicamp schedule from last year and planned it around that. When the actual OTA schedule was released, discovered if trip coincided with mandatory practice days. What we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a failure to communicate.
Yeah.
How do you not? And I put this totally on Aaron Rodgers. You don't just look at last year's and assume it's going to be the same. You talk to your coach and say, hey, I'm thinking of going to Egypt. Can you let me know when the mandatory days are so I don't miss? I do wonder if it points to a larger issue of communication between the coach and the quarterback.
Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. Like, to me, it's like Aaron Rodgers has all the money in the world. Could he have not? Why couldn't he push the trip back 2 days? Or, like you said, this whole thing's easily avoidable.
Avoidable. It's just stupid. Yeah,
the Jets could have made mandatory. Like, you just designate. You only have to designate of the 12 days. You only have to. You can designate any of them as the mandatory ones.
So then you had over in Bill's camp, Brandon Bean was irritated, man, because there was a athletic story, you know, one of these anonymous stories. And I like
I think it was ESPN's.
Was it? You're right. This one was ESPN's.
It was the ESPN.
No, you're right. This one was ESPN's.
Team player rankings.
Player rankings. And they did quarterbacks. And I hate to say it, I like the anonymous stuff. And partly you like it because you feel like you get people to say things that they would never totally say if their name would be attached to it. But someone said about Josh Allen that he was overrated. And they asked Brandon Bean about this. And I was kind of surprised because typically you're like, whatever. Like, it's a, you know, people are going to say things, whatever. Right? People need to, and just slough it off. Brandon Bean talked about it for like 4 minutes.
Yep.
And he was visibly ticked. And
he even did the overdramatic head tilt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
he said there are idiots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed out this was supposed to be an executive. He said, you know, before I got this job, I guess they would have called me an executive. Right.
Yep.
So he sort of said,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Wondered if it was a GM or whatever. Was it a real executive, or was it just a pseudo-executive?
Yeah, I took it another way. I took it as that's a fired executive.
Oh, fired executive.
Yeah.
That could be that. And then he said, if you were going to use the word rated with Josh in any, it would be underrated. And I kind of agree. I think Josh Allen has entered rendezvous territory.
Yeah.
Where he is so... he is called overrated and by so many people that he's now underrated.
And weirdly, I think, was he 2 on that list?
I don't think so. No, he was behind.
I couldn't remember if he was behind Burrow or ahead of Burrow.
He was behind Burrow.
Yeah. There's this weird narrative around Josh that makes no sense to me. Like, we all understand in football, it's everyone could do their job better. That's fine. When you look at the Ravens' lack of playoff success, it's undeniable at this point that Lamar has not played well.
It's because of Lamar.
Correct.
It's literally diarrhea.
Correct. The same thing applies. When you get mad at me when I hate on Dak, it's right. Because I've watched Dak in big games right. Shrink always. College, pro,
I heard you talking about this yesterday. If you go back to the times that Josh has lost to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, he was 13 seconds away from beating him. He wasn't the one who was on the freaking field not making getting the stop. And same thing with, honestly, last year. Last year in the playoffs, the Bills had no linebackers. They couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes from completing passes over the middle, 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 over the middle. He actually gave him the lead. Like, it was. Well, they gave him the chance to tie with a field goal.
Yes.
So it's just, it's not been on Josh. He does have some bad games, like the Jets game.
That's the other thing.
But he, what the record against, what was his?
He was 6-1 against playoff teams, and it was by far the best record.
This is insane. I will grant you, if you want to argue the Joe Burrow thing, who's the second best quarterback, Josh or Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's awesome. It's just how much stock you put in the fact that he gets injured.
Yes.
Right? And so but otherwise it's those two. That's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because you have to include Lamar's playoffs when you judge Lamar.
Yes.
And Josh's playoffs have been terrific. It's just not, it's a ridiculous conversation, and I think it's true. I think Brandon Breen is right. If he is anything, now, there was a separate conversation that I wanted to get into today, but I don't think we're going to have time to. In Unsportsmanlike, the show that's on before ours, they listed, because the other thing that Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, he said, every year there's 8 to 12 teams that are legit Super Bowl contenders, and the rest have no shot. He was borrowing from Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh used to always say that, right? That was a Bill Walsh thing. And so what Unsportsmanlike did is they came up with the teams that have a legitimate chance in their mind to win the Super Bowl this year. Who are the contenders? And it was Kansas City, Baltimore, Cincinnati, San Francisco, the Rams, the Lions, and the Packers. Not on the list, the Bills. Now, I don't know how the Bills season's going to go. They lost a lot, right? They lost Stephon Diggs. They lost their two safeties. Like, they lost a lot. But to not include them on a list of Super Bowl contenders, if you're going to be including the LA Rams, it's just
and the Packers.
And the Packers, it's just stupid. Like, whatever. Like, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year because I think the Chiefs will probably win it. And whatever. Or there's
the Bills have as much right to be on that list as the Ravens do.
It's stupid. More, because they have a quarterback who's performed well in the playoffs.
Yes.
Now, the Ravens have a better roster, broadly speaking, I do believe, right now.
The Bills have a quarterback with a winning record in the playoffs.
So, in terms of this, by the way, I honestly think the other problem with this is that a chance to go to the Super Bowl is how it's phrased. I honestly think it's a much longer list than this.
NFC's wide open.
I wouldn't take any of these teams off the list, but don't you have to have Houston on the list? Can't you imagine it? A chance to go to the Super Bowl?
Sure.
I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Let me ask you this. Do the Dolphins or Jets have a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
In my opinion, no.
Okay, do the Eagles not have a chance to go to the Super
100%.
Bowl? 100%. Of course they do. They should be on this list.
Yes.
It's a stupid list. They should absolutely. Now, do the Cowboys have a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
I mean, theoretically, yes. I still say no. For the same reasons we just laid out.
You have no problems with anyone who's on this list? The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals,
the 49ers. I think the Packers.
The Rams, the Lions, the Packers.
I don't think the Packers deserve to be on there yet, but at the same time, it's like, okay, if you tell me that the Lions struggle to replicate what they did last year, and then the Packers end up winning the North, and they have home field advantage. Okay, yeah.
How about Houston, Jacksonville?
I mean, to me, I still think that the AFC South's like a cut below, but like, I mean, what if it's entirely possible that
Someone's going to get a home playoff
what
game?
What if CJ Stroud's the dude?
That's the thing. The idea that they don't have a chance to go to the Super Bowl seems preposterous to me.
And I don't think Trevor's going to be as bad as he was last year because I think he was hurt.
Because he was hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they have a chance. I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Let me ask you this. Do the Browns, like, I don't think the Steelers have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I think they have a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I don't even have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I can't see them winning consecutive playoff games, right, the Steelers, with that quarterbacking situation.
Yes.
Do the Browns have a chance?
No.
Same reason?
Yes. Deshaun's not good, and I hope people wake up. Deshaun was always overvalued and overrated.
Anyone else on this list who you believe, anyone else who they left off this list who should have been included on this list? Anyone like totally surprising? Could the Falcons and Kirk Cousins or something?
It's,
you know what
same,
I mean?
It's the same thing. When we're if we're talking about make the playoffs, that's a different question.
I don't the Dolphins have a chance? The thing is, they actually lost a bunch of players defensively.
Do they have a chance? I don't know. Like, because in the end, when we're talking about the AFC, to go to the Super Bowl,
it's just different. You got to go through Kansas City.
Or you're gonna have to go up and you're going to have to beat either Burrow, Mahomes, or Josh. And do I think that...
You'll probably have to beat multiple of them.
At least two of
them. You will have to beat two or three of those dudes on the way to getting there.
And I just don't think any of those teams can.
It is funny. Because the Chiefs are in the AFC and they loom so large, it's different. A bunch of teams, if you put the Dolphins in the AFC, you might say they... In the NFC, you might say they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I can make a much stronger case of teams that... Because, again, this is not win the Super Bowl.
No,
it's go to the Super Bowl. Because the NFC, to me, like, because I don't think there's really, like, a dominant quarterback in the conference, like, if the standard is go to the Super Bowl, there's probably 6 to 7 teams that could.
Time is running out over at Robert Irwin Jewelers on their extraordinary summer getaway, their offer. It's just tremendous. It's been just so much fun, and I hope a lot of you have taken advantage of it. Up to 40% off all engagement rings and a free vacation with every purchase of $24.95 or more. 3-night hotel stays in places like the Miami Hilton Head, Miami or Hilton Head or Las Vegas. You spend a $49.95 or more and you get a $500 airfare credit and a 3 nights at a resort in the Dominican Republic or select Caribbean islands. Spend $79.95 or more. Get a 4-night carnival cruise with a $200 onboard credit, et cetera, et cetera. Vacation and a ring with up to 40% off. It's been a spectacular deal that they've been offering at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And, of course, you still got the unbelievably wonderful experience of shopping for a diamond ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've got 5 locations in Memphis and Little Rock. You can find them online at rijewelers.com. But this deal comes to an end on August 3rd, so act soon. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is Teenage Riot by Sonic Youth from their classic 1988 album Daydream Nation. Band leader Thurston Moore is somehow 66 years old today.
All right. Well, I think you said it kind of called your shot on Trey Jemison. You've been wondering whether the Grizzlies would find a better alternative to Trey Jemison, and they appear to be at least trying to do that as they replace him on the two-way with Jay Huff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was clear to me that they were going to want to use that spot as a functional depth piece for the main roster, not as just a developmental, you know, G League player.
Yep.
And Trey Jemison, as I sort of wrote this week, to me was sort of a developmental tweener. He was a little too raw to help right now, but at 24, a little too old to be someone as a long-term project. And also, he was pretty limited stylistically. He was just a big, true center. And Jay Huff is someone who is going to be 27 when the season starts. He has been a terrific G League player. He's not gotten a lot of NBA, you know, opportunity, but he's been on a two-way for 3 teams in the last 3 years. This is the last year he'll have eligibility. And he's the kind of player, given his age and given his game, that seems like a good bet to be able to chip in when needed. You know, he's a 7-footer who's a 3-point shooter. And so you can see him playing, you know, with Brandon Clark. You see him playing with Santi Aldama, with Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe even with Zach Edey. Like, we'll see about that. But, you know, certainly at least more chance of he would be able to do that than Trey Jemison would.
Before I get back to Jay Huff, how have the dogs? Managed the move? You have three now. Are you up to three still? Is that right?
Yeah, we have three. That was not in intent. Our intent. We had our third right. was sort of our unplanned pregnancy of our dog situation. Our daughter brought her home, and she ended up sticking around off the street. They're doing okay. We've got a neighbor dog who's a little skittish, and we have like a chain link fence that separates the yards. And so when they're all both outside at the same time, like they like to just run back and forth along the fence and bark at each other. I think if they got a hold of each other, it would be a playful situation, you know, because we take our dogs to off leashes all the time and they're all fine with other dogs. But, you know, they're just excited to see each other, and so they'll sort of run back and forth and bark at each other. So we try to be judicious about letting them in the backyard when the neighbor dog is also in the backyard.
Yeah, I have that problem with German Shepherds to my left. My dogs immediately just go run over and bark at the German Shepherds, and the German Shepherds bark back. And like that, right. There's a little DMZ actually between them. And but it gets to be a little irritating for everybody involved. Okay, Jay Huff, not that you're that familiar with his game, although he did play against the Grizzlies Summer League team for Orlando last week. What do you get the sense he doesn't do well? If he's a 7-foot dude who can shoot 39% on threes,
it's a good question. Like, why has he been able to carve much of a role? Because he's been really good in the G League. He was the G League Defensive Player of the Year, you know, the year before last. I just think the NBA is really deep with talent right now. And, you know, I haven't watched him enough to really have a feel for it. I don't get the sense he can really do a lot with the ball other than, like, you know, shoot it when it touches his hands. And so we'll see. I mean, this is a two-way. This is them just looking for someone who can help if needed. I mean, the plan is not for Jay Huff to be playing a lot. I do think the plan is for Scottie Pippen to play a little bit. But other than that, it's like a break in case of emergency kind of thing. But, you know, I think they wanted someone who could give them a little bit of versatility and a little bit of playability to make up a word out of that spot. And I think Huff seems like a pretty decent bet for that.
Do we have the two-way thing is interesting. And it obviously makes a lot of sense. It's been a good resource for teams. Like, whatever, Scottie Pippen was just out there kicking around. The Lakers let him go, right? And so do we have a best ever two-way for the Grizzlies? I mean,
Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson came through
different.
Two-way, so that's pretty good. The Grizzlies have a history of elevating guys. So sometimes they elevate guys and they stick, and sometimes they don't. Like Killian Tilly, I think I remember correctly, elevated off of a two-way onto the main roster. That didn't last long. Kenneth Lofton, you know, didn't last long in that situation. John Conchar, still around, elevated off a two-way. And so they have a history, you know, particularly during this Zach Kleiman administration. They have a history. Yuta Watanabe started off on a two-way and developed an NBA career. So they have a real history of using that to sort of pave the path for players who make it to the main roster. And I think that, given that they have a history of using it that way, that probably makes it more attractive to agents looking to place their players on two-ways.
Well, and of course, there's two different kinds. Like the Vince Williams two-way is the drafted player two-way. That's the Cam Spencer, whatever else. And then there's the kicking around two-way. Who's been kicking around the league.
And then there's like in between that is the undrafted rookie, right? Like John Conchar went undrafted, but they put him on the two-way on draft night, basically. And so, yeah, the idea of like finding, like Jamichael Green, if you go further back, Jamichael Green was someone who this was the Chris Wallace, John Hollinger front office, I think. Maybe it was Levy. I know this was like a Hollinger thing specifically where he really liked Michael Green, and he was playing on the G League team for San Antonio, and they plucked him out of that. And I don't know whether they were called two ways at the time, but they plucked him out of that as a developmental league player, and he ended up, you know, being a starter on a good Grizzlies team.
All right, so we were talking about this, and I asked this question, which I talked about earlier at some point during this offseason, whether this shapes up to be the Grizzlies' most promising or best, or however you define it, roster ever. And I was immediately thinking about the roster that from a couple of years ago that had such a deep, good, experienced bench, and that this year's roster, to the extent it might be the best ever, it really depends on growth from their best players. Jeffrey then brought up which team was it, Jeffrey? You brought up the roster of
the 2011 team that I know finished seventh, whatever. But that, to me, like that, To me, that was the team that was closest to actually winning
a title. Interesting is, and I'm
they were an eight seed, but they sort of chose to be an eight seed.
Yeah, you're right. What was interesting to me is that actually, if you look at the best players on that team and the best players on this team, well, Mike Conley, you can disagree. It strikes me that Mike Conley and Desmond Bane are both kind of same level players. You know, fringe all star, deep position. You know, And then Mark and Jaren are kind of, obviously they do it differently, but defensive player of the years who have some offensive, different offensive skills, kind of the same level player. Mark more accomplished, honestly, so far at least, than I think Jaren is. And then you get Zebo and Ja, and obviously Ja has a higher ceiling, but Zebo was one of the most destructive players in the league that year. Deficient defensively, some off-court issues that had haunted him. It actually doesn't line. We sort of put that earlier team in as a, at least I do, well, they were kind of a middling overachievers, whereas this is a high-ceiling group. I don't know that they're as different as one would think.
Yeah, a couple things there. One, I tend to agree with Jeffrey, and this is not the conventional wisdom. The conventional wisdom would point to 2013 when they made the conference finals, or 2015. People in the organization point to 2015, the team that lost to the Warriors in the first round. I agree with Jeffrey that the best chance they really had was that first year in 2011. That was partly the team they had, which had really good depth. You had Shane Battier, and OJ Mayo was still pretty good then, and some of that. But also, it was just the way the league was set up that year. You know, I think, you know, if you win that triple overtime game, not to get too deep on this tangent, but if you win that triple overtime game against the Thunder in the second round, you got that Mavs team as like a one-star team, ended up getting to the finals. I do think that was, in retrospect, their best chance and that shot, and I've written that. But in terms of comparing, you know, this roster to that roster, I think the difference when you I think your player-to-player comps among the three stars is pretty good, and I think, you know, the idea, the Randolph-Ja thing is pretty interesting because they're both also, like, you know, really mostly one side of the floor kind of players in terms of how good they are. I think the difference is, even though that 2011 team I do think was the best chance the Grizzlies had, Marc Gasol became a better player later.
Right.
And Mike Conley became a better player later.
Right.
And so partly because of the age difference, partly because of the injury stuff with Zach, the peak years of Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol didn't really line up. I think Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, who are like 1 year apart among the three of them, are much better set up to peak together. And that's what I think raises the ceiling on what this team can be.
How about as compared to the team from the you know, Kyle, Tyus, D'Anthony Melton team? Of course, that was a much younger version of this core that you're talking about.
That team was deeper and more experienced in its depth. But Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane weren't. I think Dez and Jaren in particular have become better players since then. And so really it's about, can these three stars stay healthy, grow their games, and peak at the same time, all on the floor, peaking together, and do you have a mix around them that's good enough when the time comes? And maybe the time's right now, but when the time comes. I think since they identified those three players as what they were about, and that was a couple years ago really, the rest of the roster was always going to churn around them. You just don't have, you can have three-player, four-player cores you keep together for a long time. Nobody has a five-player, six-player, seven-player, eight-player group you keep together for like 9 years. So it's really about identifying your core, and you're always going to be churning around that core, and you hope that, like, you know, everything comes together at the right time.
The as you point out, it was experience depth on that team with Tyus, Kyle, D'Anthony Melton, and then honestly, they still had Brandon Clark, not as experienced depth, but very springy depth. Is it possible that the depth on this team, so much maybe there hinges on Gigi, but if you count Vince as depth, Luke Kennard, Clark, like it's less experienced and sort of reliable, but kind of there's some high ceiling to this bench.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on particularly Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams. You know, is Vince Williams everything that he looked like he was last year? Does Gigi take a step forward? Because right now, you can put together a 10-man rotation where you have Gigi Jackson as the 10th guy.
Right.
I mean, Gigi Jackson just made the All-Rookie team and was just made, you know, the All-Summer League team, and he's 19 years old. And, like, people can disagree about, like, how high the upside is. But at a minimum, everyone who watches him looks at him, sees someone who has the upside of a high level starter. If not a star, at least a high level starter. Like that's a pretty high upside.
Yep. All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Monkey. So the depth there, Jeffrey, if you've got you got D'Anthony Melton, Tyus, Kyle, Brandon Clark. Who else was on that team in terms of depth? Here you've got Santi, Vince, Luke Kennard, Clark again, Gigi Jackson. It may work out that you have Marcus Smart as depth and Vince in the starting lineup, whatever. Like, who knows? But, we know how reliable they were. We know what Tyus was. We know the ways he came through when Ja was hurt. We know how effective Kyle could be and was. We know Brandon Clark against Minnesota in the playoffs. Like, we saw that. So I think it's hard to count on this. But they definitely have some tools coming off the bench this
year. Oh, for certain.
This year. You need a bucket. You got Luke Kennard shooting it. You got Gigi Jackson. And I was particularly impressed in the summer league, like even in the championship game, the way that he would go to the hole, that he was not just settling,
Proverbial three-level scorer, Jeff.
The proverbial three-level scorer. Anyway. All right. We're going to play Right in the Right Trivia. Kevin Cerita is going to join us. And this is your chance to match wits with a Jeffrey Wright. It's also your chance to win one-day passes to the FedEx St. Jude Championship out there, which is just weeks away at this point, bearing down upon us. And you can go any day. You can use these passes to go any day. I was out.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There earlier, last week it was, and I saw the new goings-on at the 14th, which they're trying to make into a signature hole. Should be a lot of fun. We will take
Is it 3 weeks away, Jeffrey? I think it's 3 weeks away. We'll take caller number three, 445-0929, 445-0929, if you want to try to be righter than right. We'll do that next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He's the czar of fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, what's happening out there in the world?
Hey, good morning. So much is happening. It's a great time. If you've been listening to this segment over the years and you've been thinking about coming out and playing some trivia or some bingo, it's a great time to come try it because we got some cool stuff happening. Tonight, I'll be back on the roof of the Hyatt in downtown Memphis playing music bingo. We'll be watching the sunset, giving away awesome prizes, including access to their pool and a free cabana rental there. We've also got, we were just at Ghost River last night for trivia, and we'll be there again for music bingo tomorrow. But the Ghost River on South Main now has a kitchen, so you can go out and enjoy Memphis' original craft brewery. And but now they've got a completely new remodel, and they've got a brand new food options for you now every time you go out there. Also, we've got coming up next Tuesday, we'll be at High Cotton, where it's Take Your Dog Night to Trivia. So if you want to go to Trivia and you like your dog, bring your dog out. We'll have extra prizes from Hollywood Feed. But in between there on Monday, we're back at IKEA playing traditional bingo out there, giving away as-is items from IKEA. So much going on, something for everybody. They're all free events. Go to CerritoEntertainment.com and find out which one works for you, which one is near you. And CerritoEntertainment.com.
All right. We do have a contestant, Jeffrey.
Jeff, we welcome Evan in East Memphis to the program.
Evan, welcome to the program. I'm going to turn matters over to Kevin Cerrito, playing for two passes to the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Best of luck. All right, Kevin, there you go.
All right, FedEx tickets on the line. Your job, Evan's to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win. Of course, you just got to play fair. It is current events there, so I'm going to ask you a question about what's been going on in the news. You'll have the choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey, and you can steal from him one time. If he misses a question, he can do the same to you as we go through the game here. Around the U.S. or local news is your first two categories.
Let's do around the U.S.
Around the U.S., what fast food chain not in Memphis was named the top U.S. fast food chain by readers of USA Today?
Let's go with In-N-Out.
Steal.
We've got to steal. Jeffrey.
Well, I take it In-N-Out is not correct.
That was quick.
All right, Jeffrey, go
ahead. It is not In-N-Out. In-N-Out is on the list, but not near the top.
This is incorrect, but the answer to your question is Del Taco. It is not the best fast food restaurant or best fast food chain.
Correct. Del Taco wins, and it does seem like it possibly won by, you know, you can stuff the ballot is not the fairest way to say it, but, like, you can campaign, right? I think they won with an online campaign, I'm guessing, because I don't know how Del Taco, which is not nearly, you can't find it. I don't know where the nearest one to Memphis is. Probably maybe. I think there might be one in Arkansas.
I think they have one in Georgia.
And in Georgia. Yeah. But to take down Chick-fil-A was the leader. Chick-fil-A was the leader for a long time, but I don't know how many times you can vote and all the rules for that. But yes, Del Taco's at the top. Jeffrey has a point as we go local news for you, Jeffrey. What Memphis suburb was ranked on Fortune's third annual 50 Best Places to Live for Families list? So this list just came out this year from Fortune. It's their third annual 50 Best Places to Live for Families. It's a Memphis suburb made the list. What suburb?
Pretty sure. It's a DeSoto County. I'm going to say Olive Branch.
Olive Branch is correct.
Oh, this is crazy. Oh, this is crazy.
46.
Evan, I'm with you. That's ridiculous.
That's wild.
2-0 is the score. Back to Evan.
Olive Branch in at number 46. Evan, you want music or musicals?
I guess music. Musicals would probably be very tough. Music, please.
Eminem has ended Taylor Swift's 12-week run at the top of the Billboard album chart with his new album titled About the Death of Who?
Slim Shady.
That is correct. The Death of Slim Shady is the number one album in America.
2-1. Oh, to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Musicals.
Musicals. Angelina Jolie earned her first Tony Award as one of the producers of what Broadway musical that shares its name with a legendary pro wrestling tag team?
The Outsiders.
The Outsiders is correct.
Goodness gracious.
3-1 as we head into round three.
All right. Reality TV or cartoons, Evan?
Let's do cartoons.
A 28-year-old joke on The Simpsons came true recently when the London Symphony Orchestra performed with what California hip-hop group? So you're telling me the California hip-hop group that performed with the London Symphony Orchestra bringing to life a 28-year-old joke from The Simpsons?
Let's go with Public Enemy.
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, you just know this one for fun.
Is it Run DMC?
No, it is Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill apparently is a joke.
Everlast was in the news, yeah.
Yeah.
You can go watch the episode. Go find the episode Homer Palooza if you want to get in on the joke. Reality TV, Jeffrey. In December, Jonathan Bennett will host what network's first ever reality competition series titled Finding Mr. Christmas?
Lifetime.
That is incorrect. There is a steal.
I'd like to steal that.
Go ahead.
Would it be Hallmark?
That is Hallmark.
Oh, Evan strikes back.
Nice.
But Hallmark.
What's that?
Hallmark movies used to be on Lifetime, right?
Yeah, they made their own channel, and that's Hallmark. There's going to be Hallmark Plus now.
Oh, man. Lord knows.
There might already be that. I don't know. But yeah, it's from the Hallmark. They're definitely different. Hallmark, Netflix, and Lifetime, I believe, all have their own franchises of
Christmas
movies. 3-2,
all of a sudden we have our hands full. Yeah.
If you win Finding Mr. Christmas, you do get to land a role in a Hallmark holiday movie, in addition to being declared Mr. Christmas. Computers or people, Evan? Computers or people?
Let's go with people.
People, after a congressional hearing, political leaders on both sides of the aisle characterized the hearing as inadequate. Kimberly Cheadle has resigned from what post?
The head of the Secret Service.
That is correct.
You got a tie ball game. Jeff, are you feeling the heat? You know,
yes,
are you a little bit like the Falcons in the Super Bowl? Yeah. Big lead, slipping away?
Yeah, I just got a strip sack.
All right, go ahead.
Computers, a buggy software update from what cybersecurity company affected Windows computers worldwide, disrupting air travel, et cetera, et cetera?
CrowdStrike.
CrowdStrike is the name. That's right. CrowdStrike.
All right. So we're done with regulation, right?
Yes. We're heading
into the
score
is 4-3. 3-2? What is
it? 4-3.
High scoring
game.
4-3. And 4-3, I see how many Jeffrey is wagering. Evan, how many of your points do you wish to wager?
Let's go. Might as well go all in, I guess.
All right. All in. Both are wagering 3. Here we go.
All right. Both are wagering 3. New records, pop culture records, actually, is the category. You want A or B?
A.
Question A. FX show The Bear now holds the Emmy record for the comedy series with the most nominations in 1 year, with 23 Emmy nominations. The previous record was set by what NBC comedy in 2009 with 22 nominations?
That would be 30 Rock.
30 Rock is correct! 30 Rock!
Smoking 6 points now. Takes the lead 6-4, but Jeffrey has also wagered
3.
And so would retake the lead in this thrilling
I don't feel good.
Tilt. What's the category?
Pop
culture record. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
Inside Out 2 has surpassed what other Disney sequel to become the highest grossing animated film of all time?
Frozen 2.
Frozen 2, quickly, Jeffrey. Knew that one in
calmly.
Anyway.
Good job.
Yeah, that was nicely done on all fronts. That was a thriller. Back and forth they went. But it's a little bit like you give Patrick Mahomes that last, possession,
Evan.
What are you going to do? So, do you believe he played
Evan,
honorably?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And he works for a golf company.
Oh, well, there you go.
So,
enjoy
going to the golf tournament.
Enjoy the golf tournament. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it.
Sweet. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Well, that was fun. Kevin, once again, where do people find out where you will, you and your hordes of talented colleagues will be?
Go to CerritoEntertainment.com. You can find the full schedule of where we are at. We're playing trivia 3 days a week now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and music bingo 5 days a week. So we're somewhere near you. If not, it's worth the drive because you can have a lot of fun and win. And remember, if you're playing trivia, you're going to hear at least one of these questions tonight, we're at our new location, Evergreen Grill, among other places in the Memphis area. You'll hear at least one question, probably three of these questions we'll ask tonight and see how the teams do. So, SaritaEntertainment.com.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. If you are, Jeffrey, you might want to get like the scorecard from that game frame.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That match. It was as thrilling as it was. Or maybe out there in the world you want something else framed. Some piece of sports memorabilia, wedding photos, your Arrowhead collection. That's what a guy from Jonesboro did, came in and wanted his Arrowhead collection, his grandfather's precious Arrowhead collection framed. You can take it to Frame Corner Memphis, where they do a spectacular job of custom framing. Whatever it is that you want displayed, preserved, that's what they do. They really, they take memories and they make them last forever. You'll have them to display in your home. You'll have them to hand down to your kids. It is Frame Corner Memphis. They sell frames by all means. You can walk in and buy your own frame, but they specialize in custom framing. So if you've got something that needs framing, 5035 Park Avenue, it's framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. A lot of football cranking up, Jeffrey. You've talked a little bit about what is happening in the NFL. College football, though, as well. And I'll tell you one thing that strikes me, you know, we were there, I was there anyway, when the Liberty Bowl, when they started knocking down parts of the Liberty Bowl. And I kind of expected it to just be, I don't know, not a particular big deal. But it has been interesting. As this work has continued, Jeffrey, people have been wistful about it. You know, like, I know the Liberty Bowl will still be there, but I've seen lots of people post the seats that I have sat, that I sat in for the last 32 years are gone. And more you drive by or you look at the videos or whatever else, and there's just giant ass chunks of that west side missing.
Yeah, I was telling John this off the air, but I think what's more unusual about all this, like, I understand being nostalgic, like, it's your seats, yeah, whatnot. Yeah. What truly blows my mind is the fact that, for the most part, this stadium has largely been untouched since it was built.
Well, so what has happened?
So in 87, to get the NFL team, at first when it was built, it didn't look like even. It kind of looked tilted, so they leveled out to make it look symmetrical.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that. I don't know what happened.
And then they built the sky, the suites on the other side.
Yeah, so we've got, and now around it, it obviously used to be the fair,
correct?
You know, and the fairgrounds.
Liberty.
And that was its own experience.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, but I totally understand why. I mean, literally, they would be mocked because you would. I remember, that they would have tailgates the week before in the cow barns.
Correct.
You know,
the stables that were there.
In the stables that were there. And listen, I'm a farm kid, so it was fine for me, but they would smell like they had once been used as a stable.
Correct.
Like, that's what was Harold Byrd.
You could smell funnel cake and manure.
Yeah, exactly. It was that blend of funnel cake and manure that just stayed all year long. It wasn't fresh manure or fresh funnel cake. It was just there. Then there were the times when actually the fair was going on and you would have to walk through the fair to get to the games. That was fun. So then we had Tiger Lane. You have to say Tiger Lane, vast improvement, right? That has been a...
Correct. But I'm talking about the stadium.
The stadium itself, right.
Correct.
And then we have the locker rooms. But again, that's not anything that people experience.
So we went, I believe in 05, we went from grass to grassy turf.
Yeah.
I believe we've had the turf redone. We've had new video boards, sound system. And then
they had that area. They've created.
Well, say they also cleared out some space up top, put temporary tents, and called it a party deck.
They had that little thing. But in terms of just walking through the concourse,
correct.
Your experience, they created some little areas where they had TVs and drinks, but basically has been unchanged.
Correct.
And it is sort of amazing. Like, there are lots of stadiums. In Knoxville is one of them. There are old stadiums that have been beautifully, constantly updated. Millions and hundreds of millions of dollars have been poured into them. So you have an old stadium that feels like a new stadium.
Correct.
That's here. You have an old stadium
that feels like an old stadium.
It feels like an old stadium.
Correct.
And the truth of the matter is that I don't know structurally. That's not my area of expertise. As a stadium, a place to watch a football game.
pretty good from the Lions perspective,
correct?
Right?
If you are just
In the bowl in your seat, yes, sitting down, and it's pretty damn good, really.
Yes, it's well designed, and
it's just been managed by the city and turned into a piece of crap.
Right. Most civic stadiums like this, that's the state that they're in.
Yeah, because you're competing,
correct,
with money that would go to police or fire, or that should be going to police, right, and fire, whatever else. So literally, amidst the nostalgia, you've had people like those of us who've spent time in the press box who've just, I guess if you're not going to clean the windows, you might as well knock it down.
Right.
You know, like, because it's been so hideously maintained. They did redo the press box at some point, and it wasn't much better when they redid it than it was the previous. I wonder what the new one will be like. I don't think it's going to be a brand new state of the art.
Let's be real. When we redid it, we basically just put new carpet down.
I think they
changed some elevators.
They put in new seating.
Yeah.
It wasn't comfortable. It was new, whatever. But then the elevators, people are routinely getting stuck on these elevators. Like, it's a...
We kind of did what we did with Poplar. Instead of, like, widening it, we just repainted it.
It's kind of a really...
Made another lane.
I think it's a really nice stadium that has been hideously... it's like if you have a nice car, you can either take care of it well and take it to the car wash and get your oil changed regularly and updated, whatever, or you can do what I do in my car. Just drive it into the ground, not take care of it, let it be banged up, whatever else. It's just a freaking car. It's just transportation.
Yeah, I think
that's
it's a well-designed stadium that obviously...
has not been well maintained, right?
Yes.
And so, but I do totally understand, and I don't think the nostalgia is misplaced because it is going to come back as a very different stadium.
Yeah, but it's still structurally going to look the same. You know what I mean? Like, it's the iconic part is like the sombrero.
You're going to be watching either from the other side, or you're going to be paying for this party deck seat, or you're going to be down. Like, I do wonder, once the home side is turned into mostly a party deck, is that still going to count as a home side? I mean, that is where...
I mean, the reality of home side, I always just think of it as what side is the...
That's where they'll be.
What side is the sideline?
I've been kind of touched by that, though. People can literally... Their seats are disappearing. Their seats have been knocked out. Their seats are gone. They've been sitting in those seats for 32 years. I understand the nostalgia that people feel for it. I also wonder a little bit about the excitement. You know, we talk about this, how much excitement is there in Memphis football? It's kind of interesting. Like, we just track readership at the Daily Memphian. We know what people read, right?
Yeah.
John wrote a Memphis basketball column a couple days ago, and on its third day, it was still getting much better readership than anything that was being written about Memphis football. Like anything that was being written about Memphis football, as it from the media days.
What about the stadium stuff? Because
the stadium stuff did very well.
Yeah, I thought
the stadium stuff did very well. But just like Memphis football, pick number one, expectations, whatever. And I'll be really interested to see this momentum and excitement that we talk about, is it translating? Like, is it real? Like, we understand they're picked well, but is there among the rank and file out there the people of Memphis? I'm not talking about the people who always will have season tickets. I'm talking about the people of Memphis. I'll be interested to see what it's like. There is other college football news. One is that they're, as part of this house settlement that we've talked about, that's going to allow colleges to pay athletes directly, they will no longer have scholarship limits. They will instead have roster limits, right? And you can give out partial scholarships and whatever else. So the roster, you can then give scholarships to as many of the people on the roster as you like. So for example, football, which previously had a scholarship limit of 85,
yep,
but then a roster limit of whatever the hell you wanted. Like, you get as many walk-ons as you wanted, right? Now football is going to have a roster limit of 105.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those ones where it's like, I understand the conversation around it, but it's like, don't we really have bigger issues going on, whether or not you can have 20 walk-ons?
No, it's just interesting how men's basketball. Memphis basketball has typically had 13 scholarships. It's now going to have a roster of 15, so you can pay 15.
Right, I mean...
But you can't have three walk-ons.
Yeah, I just,
I'm not bemoaning the lack of opportunity for walk-ons.
We're so far away from what the actual structure of everything is going to look like.
I can't fit that.
This feels like
Pat McAfee's returning to game day. No surprise there.
Duh.
Thank you.
That was a negotiation.
That was a negotiation. And Deshaun Foster, the new coach at UCLA, had a sort of awkward, listen, this is his, they bring him to Big Ten, crazy, by the way, Big Ten media days, and you get up and you get to make an opening statement and then you get questions. Well, Deshaun Foster, former great running back at UCLA, is now the head coach. Didn't seem particularly well prepared for this moment. Here it is.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
My God.
So I saw
Holy smokes.
The best joke I saw yesterday was, I would rather my coach say he's gotten 1,000 DUIs than this.
Well, I was going to say, Ingrid Andress recently did the national anthem,
yeah,
right? Which was her national anthem better as a national anthem than this opening statement was as an opening statement? She at least got through it.
Yeah, and like there was...
Was he drunk?
No, he even admitted, he said afterwards, like he actually had, like in the scrum, he gave a really good answer. He's like, I'm terrified of public speaking. Like he actually gave...
I am sympathetic to that.
Yeah, no, I mean...
But in the end, then, you should have just gotten up and said...
Yeah.
You should have said,
excited to be here.
Excited, yeah. Any questions?
Just somebody
I know
have,
you
like,
guys got a lot of questions.
Yeah, write a couple of notes. Like, let's just get in there.
This is something you can work on.
Yeah.
You know, you can work on it. You can say it a bunch of times in front of the mirror and... Woo! What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
This is coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill will join the program. Eric Hasselstein, Jason Smith will join us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. It's Thursday, so Jeff will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. For now, our work's done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.